congrats on the film, the theatrical release, and you're hitting the festival circuit now. How does it feel to see the final product now of those, you know, pretty difficult 3 years of your life?
You know, Erin, I didn't see the film until it was completed. So it was pretty, I don't want to say shocking, but pretty profound for me to see not just the very difficult times, but just to see my career as in a whole, in its entirety. I'd never seen many of those clips from TV shows and performances, but to see it tempered with the whole truth and nothing but the truth was painful, yet I feel there's triumph in it.
You were an artist who, you know, by design controlled her image very carefully up to that point. Did you have to give up some of that control working with documentarians who had the story then that they wanted to tell?
I did, and it was not difficult for me to do because I made the decision before we started. But it wasn't about my image. It was about their telling a truthful story, and some of it was going to hurt. It was going to sting. It was going to perhaps embarrass, humiliate, devastate me, and I knew to get out of the way. That said, although I'd made the decision early on to stay out of the way, there were times that there was a little creep into my comfort level that made it uncomfortable. But I'm fortunate that I had enough understanding of the creative process to kind of get the heck out of the way.
Oh, what were some of those moments where you felt that your comfort zone was kind of breached?
You know, there was the most difficult moment for me was when they went back to Kansas and my Aunt Char, who was in the film, was taking them around and showing them my hometown. And they went to interview my sister and her family again, one of several sit-down interviews they had with Jenny and her family. And they got back to New York. They called me and said, we had a great trip. It was fantastic. Jenny is amazing. Her kids are amazing. Everything, you know, your hometown is so adorable. And then they called, we hung up, and then they called about 10 minutes later, and they said, we have something to tell you. They said, we found your mother, and we went and talked to her. Now, this was certainly, you know, the opposite of what I would have asked them to do. I understand that they needed to do that to tell the story that they needed to tell, but it was emotionally dangerous for me.
Yeah.
So that was a big problem. Although, you know, we talked through it in 24 hours. We just had a real clear understanding. I said, I'm not going to tell you who you can talk to, of course, but give me a heads up if you do something like that again, because that's a pretty volatile relationship between my mother and our entire family. So they unknowingly set off a course of little fireworks, and they didn't know it.
And the film does cover your career and your rise to stardom in Nashville. And part of the concern about coming out wasn't just personal, but it was also professional. The concern that Nashville as an industry wasn't going to have it. How has this whole process affected your career?
You know, I would say that in large part, my fear of coming out was based on my career. You know, I had come out to my family members. I came out to my sister in 2004, my dad in 2005, and my brother in 2006. So I had, you know, I have enough of an understanding of my family, you know, in my mid-30s to know that, you know, they love me, they respect me, and I want to be closer to my family than not. So my fear wasn't really rooted in family rejection. It was about my career. It was about I didn't want to lose my means to pay for my electric bill and my mortgage and to take care of myself. You know, I think a lot of people forget that entertainers, not only is it something we love to do, it's not just a hobby, it's our living. And don't we all care for our careers very diligently? You know, bankers do, attorneys do, so do entertainers. And the response has been, you know, it's getting better. We've had, especially in the past couple of months, you know, some country artists that have, well, Carrie Underwood stepped forward and affirmed marriage equality, which was a big, big deal. But until then, really, not much of Nashville was saying much. They just got eerily quiet on me. And as my producer, Rodney Crowell, in the film predicted, he said, I think they're going to just kind of freeze her out. They're just going to get real quiet.
Do you feel like, though, that you're that your story and your coming out, even if the result was a freeze out, do you think that, do you have any sense that it's maybe changed the dynamic for, or the atmosphere for aspiring Nashville musicians? Or do you think that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is still the unspoken rule down there?
Well, I think Don't Ask, Don't Tell is still the practice, but I will tell you, it's not possible for a person who has had commercial success and industry success like I have, not possible for me to come out and things not change, mm-hmm. at least a little. So, you know, I know that there are new up-and-coming artists that flock to Nashville every year by the thousands to get that record deal, to get that publishing deal. And if there are any that are gay or lesbian or bisexual, now that fear of there's never been one before is off the table.
Well, I think of you as someone who has sort of one foot in the red states and one in the blue. You know, you live in New York, but your career and your upbringing are very rooted in the Midwest and the South. What is your sense of how divided is the country really on equality issues? I mean, on one hand, we see huge Facebook fights over Chick-fil-A this summer. On the other hand, Anderson Cooper comes out and the response is largely, well, okay, you know, what's the big deal? Or at least that's what I've seen. What's your sense of that?
I think you're pretty right on that. I think it has a lot to do with the demographic, the target audience. You know, for instance, Jim Parsons, he's on the Big Bang Theory. Mm-hmm. He came out this year. Anderson to very little fanfare. Anderson Cooper came out to very little fanfare. And I think it says a lot to do with who watches them and who follows them. Perhaps those two gentlemen had a notion that their you know, demographic, their followers, would be largely unaffected or, you know, shrugging of the shoulders like, okay, so what? But then you talk about people like me, people like the hip-hop artist Frank Ocean who came out, and you have to look at our audiences. And our audiences were less apt to shrug their shoulders and say, oh, well, that's okay. It's about audience. It's about who your fan base is. So that's a sign of progress, that people shrug their shoulders and say, oh, well, I figured, I don't care. But conversely, much of America is small town America. I mean, you go anywhere outside of a major metropolitan blue area and you're in a red area. You go 45 minutes outside of Seattle, it's country music and conservative right wing people who really, really flock to the Chick-fil-A, and I don't want to make a blanket statement saying that all conservatives do, because I know a lot of conservatives who are LGBT affirming, but make no mistake, the Chick-fil-A situation was not about free speech. It was about people taking the opportunity to go exercise their voice about LGBT issues. If it were about free speech, they'd have been showing up for a lot of other rallies and gatherings. They would have been showing up at the mosque in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, that continued to get opposition from the community. If they really believed in freedom of religion and free speech, they would have been showing up to that. But they didn't. They went to buy a chicken sandwich to make sure, among their masses, to let everyone know that they're not okay with people like me.